have a seat. Before that we give the message this morning, I wanted Al to kind of share with you a little bit of the projects that we're doing this month for Honduras. And so he's going to come up and share some ways you can get involved on top of the money we're collecting for the school.
I know I was up here last week and gave you a little talk about the missions trip. I just wanted, for those that weren't here last week, just kind of an update is different ways you can get involved with helping the missions trip going to Honduras. As Mike said, we have to raise $6,000 as a team. Daunting thing that we have to do, but it's just part of how this we get the project moving, how we buy supplies, how we build the schools and things like that. So that's one of the things, and Mike went over a couple ways that you can give, either online or by putting in the envelope through the month of February. Each individual person also has to raise their own money, and that's another about $15,000 to $16,000 if you break it down into the 10 people. So we're talking about $1,500 per person that they have to raise. Some of these people take their 2 weeks vacation and go to Honduras. They don't go to the beach. Some of these people are taking time off and not getting a paycheck. So another way you can help these people is if you want to, there are a couple members of Higher Hope who are going. I know Donna. Where's Donna? Donna's back there. Donna is going on the trip. Beth Watkins is going on the trip. And Kristen Wood is also going on the trip from Higher Hope, along with Dr. Bob and myself. So if you would like to give to those three ladies, there are slips of paper. You can do that at the information desk, and much appreciated. Next week, we will be selling every Monday morning and Wednesday night. We get together and make these chocolate-covered eggs. They're actually absolutely delicious. We will be selling those next week, and also these Bonton books that for their sale, which starts the 1st of March. If anybody would like to help us make the eggs, that is Monday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at the Webb Mills United Methodist Church out in the middle of nowhere. as far as donations, we, as you see, we're taking shoes and any duffel bags people may have can use the any type of shoes. If I can't use them in Honduras, I will find ways to get them to people who can use them. And we are also taking ink cartridges. We do have a missions team here at Higher Hope. We have a meeting next Sunday night at 6:30 if you want to get involved. And it's not just international missions. We are also going to be talking about missions here at this church that we can do locally. Some of the things we're going to be doing with the hub and some of the things we're going to be doing independently of the hub. So if you want to get involved with missions work around this area, please come next Sunday at 6:30. One last thing is, does anybody here know what they're going to be doing on their 80th birthday? Anybody? How about one person? There's a young lady back over here, her name is Dolores, okay? She went last year to Honduras, 79 years old. This year she'll be spending her 80th birthday in Honduras. A testament. A testament to her love for the Lord and what she's willing to do. She probably gave that up for skydiving, I'm guessing. That's one of the other things she loves to do. So anyway, I just wanted to say, Dolores, you're an inspiration to everyone. Thank you.
We're starting a new series today called Family Road Trip, and just so you know that today is kind of the overview of the whole trip. We're just kind of giving you the 60,000-foot view, like if you're not driving, even though we're looking at the driving road trip. If you're flying, how it would look. I'm guessing we've all been on road trips at some point. And I know looking back at my marriage, my wife and I have been on many, many different road trips. And it seems like every road trip that we go on to vacation or a wedding or someplace else, there's always a interesting story to it. There's always an adventure. One time we were driving to, I think it was Michigan, and it was me, Gina, and Eli when he was young, and we're driving, and we're on the turnpike, and I'm noticing that something's not working right in the car, and like the battery, it seems to be draining faster than it should, you know, and I'm like, all right, we got to get to the next exit. So we get to the next exit, we pull off, and you know how it is. They have these places where you have to pay the toll, you know, and so we get right to the toll booth, right in front of it, and the car's just done, stopped. And I'm like, I can't. So I get out, I talk to the toll booth person. He's like, well, why don't you pay first before we actually talk? So I pay my toll, and he's like, why don't you get the car off the road? I'm like, do you see that there's 6 lanes of traffic right here? We're in the middle one. And so we maneuver ourselves to the side. We call the tow truck, and then they're like, well, we put the car on top, and we have, you know, my wife's a safety person, and so, you know, she's thinking Eli needs to be in a car seat. I'm thinking it's probably a pretty good idea that he's in a car seat, but the tow truck driver, my wife, me, Eli on our lap driving, and we're poor, you know, we don't have any money. So we pull up to, we get to the station. It's a Sunday, of course, and they have this little contract from the tow truck to the station that we're going to, that they have to take it to them, and then you have to pay more money to take it someplace else. And so they're not open on Sunday, so we figure out, okay, so we're staying in a hotel. We're looking around, and we're like, why don't we save $30 by going to the cheapest hotel possible? Okay, this is my young years, okay? I didn't realize that cheap hotels and different hotels have a whole different feel to them. We walk into our hotel room, and we look around. We're like, we're not taking our shoes off in this hotel room. You've been in one of those? You're like locking the door because you're looking outside at some of the other people at the hotel, and you just lock the door, and you're like, you tell your wife, don't go outside. It was like one of those things. We finally get the alternator fixed, and the repair bill is like twice of what it should have been. We get on the road, and we get to Michigan, and something happened to our window. My wife put it down to talk to somebody, and never went back up. And so, you know, we're like, rain, this. The truth is, it would go up, but it would go up by like this much at a time. It'd be like, J-j-j. And so every time we got in the car, we'd go up a little bit more. And that was just our journey on a road trip. And that's just one of them. And I'm sure you guys have road trips too, that you're just like, the craziest things happen on the road trip. And really, with our families, and we're focusing on families this month, we're all on a road trip. We're all heading someplace. We're all on adventure getting to that someplace. We're all journeying to a destination, to a place with our kids, with our grandkids, with our marriage, with a lot of different things. You know, the Super Bowl's tonight. And if you would actually listen to the stories of the people who are be playing in the Super Bowl, they have been on a road trip. They've been journeying. You know, I'm not just talking about one year. They've been journeying much of their life pursuing really this one thing, this Super Bowl ring that costs a whole lot of money. They've been chasing it. They've been pursuing it. And they've faced all these ups and downs. They've faced ACL injuries. They've faced, like, people telling them they can't do it. They've faced, like, being backups probably. Everyone has a different story, but they've been on journey to someplace. Let me tell you, our church is on a road trip. We're on journey to some place. You know, we're and it's going to take a lot of crazy turns. It's been a lot of crazy turns. There's a lot of ups and downs, and yet we're going somewhere. And I want to tell you, you're either going somewhere or you're going nowhere. And a lot of people live their life just kind of on the hamster wheel. They're journeying, but they're not getting anywhere. And I wanted this series to be about this idea of, if we're going to go on journey anyway, why not get to where we want to get to? Why get lost along the way? Why do we have to take like all these little circuit routes and hope we get someplace when we really need to want to and plan to get someplace? So we're going to be in the book of Acts For many of you, you've been reading the 5 for 5 for 5 journey, reading through the New Testament in a year, and I've been trying to kind of speak through those chapters that we've been reading. And so I wanted to speak about Acts, because the early church is on a road trip. They're on a journey. And so let me just give you a little background to the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament, are all about Jesus and what he's done for us and what he did with his disciples. And so he called 12 people to him, and they followed him for 3.5 years, and they grew in him, and they got to know him. And then he gets crucified, and they're like, what in the world's going to happen now? I thought this was the journey. And really what they were thinking was that Jesus, the Messiah, would come and bring this kingdom to Israel. Are you familiar with this? Like, there'd be a literal reign of King Jesus over all of Israel. They'd be bigger than the Roman Empire. They'd be, like, living in the land of milk and honey, living in the promised land. Like, all the promises that God ever gave Israel, they would finally experience. So they're always asking Jesus along the way, are you going to restore the kingdom now? How about now? How about now? How about now? And so we get to Acts chapter 1, after Jesus was crucified, and now he's shown himself to his disciples. He's like, I'm alive. Death couldn't hold me. I'm still here, all right? And we're still going on this journey together. And so I'll just start with verse 1 and kind of read down through this kind of intro to Acts. It says this, in my former book, Theophilus, which is the book of Luke, if you want to know the gospel. So it's almost like Luke part 2. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up from heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So he's been teaching the apostles, the disciples. He's been speaking into their life. After his suffering, verse 3, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He's like, I know you don't think I'm alive, but let me just give you some proofs that I'm alive. Here, check out my scars. Check out my side. Don't I look like Jesus? Touch me, you know, and he's given all these proofs. Do you want to quiz me on what I know about you? Just, I'm alive. He appeared to them over a period of 4 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So he's like, here, let me just explain the kingdom of God to you. Now, his explanation of the kingdom of God is that the church, through the disciples, are going to bring the kingdom in a whole different realm, all right? So hopefully I can explain this okay to you. That the Israelites thought it would come on the national level. There'll be King Jesus ruling as a king. Jesus is saying, I want to become Messiah. I want to become king of individual lives. The kingdom of God does not spread through an army. The kingdom of God spreads through people submitting to King Jesus. And so he's like, the kingdom's going to look like this. It's going to feel like this. There's going to be this thing called the church that's going to be a big part of the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he tells them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He says, hey, I have something. I have a gift for you. I have something I want to give you. I know I'm leaving, but somebody else greater than me is coming. It's the Holy Spirit, because he's going to live in you. Okay, all this is crazy to the disciples, but he's trying to explain what the kingdom of God looks like. Verse 6, here's the interesting part of the story. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? All right, here we go. They're a little thing. He's been, for 40 days, he's like, this is what the kingdom's going to look like. This is what the kingdom's going to feel like. This is how we're going to live out the kingdom. This is how I'm going to reign in your life. This is how it's going to work. And they're like, are we there yet? You've been there on a road trip? Someone's like, we just left. Are we there yet? We're 2 hours in. We're one movie in. Do you do that? Do you measure your road trips by your movie times? We have 4 movies, kids. 4 movies. We're good. They're one movie. They're like, Jesus, are we there yet? Are we at the kingdom? And he's like, we haven't even left the parking lot yet. I have a whole lot more planned than what you're thinking. Your kingdom is not my kingdom. Then he said, is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority. He said, we will get there. We will get there, but you're not going to know exactly when. And then he says, this is the destination. He's like, all right, every road trip has a destination. Every road trip has this is where we're going. This is how we get there. He says this in Acts 1:8. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this is the, if you want to know what the theme of the book of Acts is, this is the outline. All right, he says, let me just tell you where we're traveling, where this kingdom is going to do. We're going to start in Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel, and we're going to make a difference here. People are going to come to know me, and their lives will be transformed. Then we're going from Jerusalem. Then we're going to go to Judea, which is the state. Jerusalem is in Judea, you know, so it's like we're going to spread it out a little bit further. Then we're going to go to Samaria, by the way, which is kind of like they don't like the Samaritans. They don't really want the Samaritans to experience the gospel, the good news, but we're going there too. And this is, and then we're going to the ends of the earth. And if you follow Acts, that's what happens. The road trip goes Jerusalem, then it goes Judea, they spread out a little further. Then persecution comes, they have to go to Samaria, and then we find out that Paul is in Rome being under arrest, sharing the gospel. It's like being in New York City, sharing the gospel. You know what happens when you share the gospel in New York City? You can reach the whole world from New York City because every nationality is there. It's like the heartbeat of the world. You reach New York City, the rest of the world gets the gospel. You reach Rome at that time, the rest of the world gets the gospel. That's the road trip. And I guess I want to start with this question for us as families. Where are you going with your kids? Where are you going in your marriage? What is the picture of where you want to end up? I bet you if you talked to the people in your family, you guys would have different answers because you have no clarity on where you're going. When you don't have clarity on where you're going, you don't get there. Because what Jesus does is he casts visions for us. Let me just give you the end part of the very first thing when we go on a road trip. My wife and I, we figure out where we're going. If we don't know where we're going, we're not getting there. And so for many, many people, okay, let me just talk about this with kids. They know that they have 18 years with their kids. They know that time goes fast. They know that someday they're going to have to move out of the house, that they're going to have to get, yet when we as parents figure out, okay, where do we want them to end up? We have no picture of that. We're trying to survive the teen years, survive the terrible twos, survive whatever section of life we're trying to get through it without really a plan or a thought of this. At the end of the day, I want my kids, my family, to be here. I want them to know Jesus, you know, your most important thing. I want them to know Jesus personally. I don't want them to be religious. I want them to have a relationship, like walking with Jesus Christ. I want them to just be able to follow him radically. You know, if you don't have a picture, you can't have a plan to get there. And so as we're looking at this next 4 weeks of this road trip that we're on, this sounds really basic, and I think it is really basic, but if you don't have a vision for where you want to go, you can't get there. And so where you start, actually Stephen Covey says this, you start with the end in mind. You start with the end. Where do you want, what do you want your kids to be? What do you want your grandkids to be? And then you start building the journey to get there. And do you know, well, let me give you the part two. What happens as they go on this journey is not only do you pick a destination, but then you start putting DNA or you start packing the bags for your trip. You know, you start looking at, all right, so we're going to the beach. So if we go to the beach, this is what we need to get there. This is what we need to have in our bag. Let's put some underwear in the bags. Let's put some toothbrushes in the bag. Because if you let your kids pack their bags, you're in trouble. If you let your, listen, that's true when they're going to camp. But how much truer is it in life? If you let your kids pack their bags for life, they will miss some things that are major things. So we have to figure out what goes in the bag. Let me put it in Acts chapter 2. The early church is getting started, and all of a sudden we get this little this beautiful section of the early church of what it looked like. This is what it says, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, as many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And it goes on a little further. It's like, here's what we put on this road trip to make, bring the kingdom to the end of the world. This is what we're putting in our bag. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. They're like, the word of God is central. They devote themselves to prayer. We're going to be praying along this journey. They devote themselves to the fellowship. I'm with you. We're doing this together. To breaking bread. They're like, this may sound stupid, but we're eating together. We're going to be so devoted. We're going to spend time sitting around a table, laughing, talking, and just being one together. We're going to be in common. We're not going to agree on everything, just like we're not going to agree who's going to win the Super Bowl today, but we're going to have everything out, the major things in common, Jesus Christ being central. Do you see? And they start adding all this DNA. They're like, all right, put this in the bag. This is what the early church is like. And what I'm saying is, if you decide where you want your kids to be, where you want your grandkids to be, where you want your marriage to be, what your vision is for what God wants for your life, you start putting in your bags what you feel is most important. You know what we end up doing in life? We put all the little things in first, and all of a sudden the big things there's no space for. It's like having the kids pack the bags. We're going to put this toy in, and this toy in, and this toy in, this dollar toy in, and all of a sudden their bags full of toys, and they have nothing of real use for the trip. Bathing suit? Nope. Suntan lotion? Nope. Toothbrush? Nope. Soap? Nope. Towel? Nope. There's like all the things that are really important they left out. Listen, again, this is a really simple message, but this is what I want you to understand. If you leave this place, leave the church, and you just like, that was a good message, and you don't write stuff down, if you, see, this is supposed to like kind of prime your pump of like, we need to talk about this. We need to plan this. What big things go in my family's suitcase? And let's start taking out things that don't line up with that. It's okay to say no at times. It's okay that they don't get every experience in the world. But listen, if you want your kids to live a radical faith someday, shouldn't someplace in that high school year be a trip to like Honduras or Ecuador or something? I mean, shouldn't they be like, we want them to experience different cultures. We want them to experience what it's like to create life change in someone. We want them to experience. Shouldn't that be like, all right, kids sports league mission trip. I'm not saying sports leagues aren't bad. They're good. I'm just saying, let's make sure we put the big things in the suitcase first, and then the other things can come fill in around it. It's okay for the other things, but we can't leave out the big things. How about just like helping your kids experience what a time with Christ is? Devotion, we call them devotions or quiet times. Shouldn't that be something we put in our kids' bags? Like, listen, the most important thing about your life, where you're going, is your relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, to me, this is what John 15 says. Apart from me, you can do, you know the last word? Nothing. Like, that's a zero. Zippo, nothing, nada. So if that's true, and we believe it's true, if you want them to have a full life, guess who's the main person you put in the bag? Jesus, right? Because apart from them, they can experience do nothing. So let's make sure that they have a connection with Jesus Christ. How about some other DNA? How about hardworking? Are we figuring out ways for our kids, our families, to experience what it's like to be hardworking? I'm just telling you, I tell my kids all the time, you know, in our culture today, I don't think you have to have a great education. If you're hardworking, you're going to be well above everybody else. All right, hardworking. How about the FPU? We've been doing this FPU here at the church. You know, what if we taught our kids how to put financial stewardship in their bag? Why set them up so that after 4 years of college, they're $60,000 in college debt and then $20,000 in credit card debt and working in the negative? Let's put in their bag what's critical. I'm running out of time. Let me give you the third thing that I think is very important too. So you have vision and you put the DNA in the bag. The road trip is going to be messy, and you don't have to pretend that it's not. You're going to have a journey taking your kids and your family and your marriage to there, and it's not going to go downhill. You're going to have struggles. Almost every road trip that we've been on have had some weird things happen. One time we were going on, I don't even know where we were going, but we decided to stop at the gas station. We get gas. And when you get gas with a family, you need to get snacks for the family. And so they go in, everyone else goes in, and there's this thing called strawberry milk, which is not, it sounds good on paper, but so my son has strawberry milk on a road trip, sitting in the back seat. And so we're driving, I'm driving, you have to know who I am. I'm a person that wants to get there. I don't like the gas station, we're like timing it. We're like doing a pit stop. We're like, all right, you got 2 minutes, go. When I'm done filling up, you better be back at the car. So I'm a goer. And so here's my son sitting in the back feeling like, oh, I'm not feeling so good. And I'm like, can you just hold on? You're fine. You go a little further. And all of a sudden we hear this sound. You know what sound it was. My wife looks at me and I look at her. It's strawberry milk, which, again, sounds good, but when you're looking at it, it does not look good. And so I'm sitting there, and my wife unbuckles, gets back there, and she's like, okay, we got to stop. I'm like, we just did. We just stopped. We don't need to stop. Can't you do something while we're going? My wife looked at me, and I knew we needed to stop. I knew at that moment. But I'm just saying this. Almost every road trip that we've been on has had adventure. It's not easy. And so when we do is we pull out our phone and we take pictures of our family that's all put together. Like we're all smiling. And we know that in the road trip of life, that's not the picture of reality. We paint it to everyone else in our church and to our friends. We want them to say we're a nice, happy family. Well, we know in truth that it's going to get messy. It's the kids are going to make mistakes. The parents are going to say stupid things. We're going to yell when we should be soft. We're going to be soft when we should yell. You know, we're not going to, it's going to be a windy pull off to the side of the road. The video's not working, so we actually have to, like, do something, count letters on the wall or whatever. You know, it's going to be a crazy journey. Let me just tell you, Acts is a crazy journey. Ananias and Sapphira, they lie to the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden they're dead. It's like, what happened to the church? It's getting crazy here. Acts chapter 6, that some of the Hebraic Jews were overlooking the Greek Jews in the distribution of food, and they're like, this is not fair, and the church is like about ready to split, and it's messy. And then we have the persecution of the church. Like all of a sudden people are like trying to kill Christians, and they're like, well, we don't want to die. And so they all spread. And I'm just saying, listen, you have to be okay with the mess. I tell my wife this all the time because I have a four-year-old who is a little messy. You may see her running around and I'm just going to be authentic with you, honest with you. There are times when we're in a conversation with somebody and my head's on a swivel trying to figure out where the four-year-old is. And I feel, and you feel guilty because you're not fully engaged in the conversation, but you have a family too. And all I'm saying is this, that your journey on this road trip is going to be messy. But don't let it stop you from getting there. Pursue it. Plan it. Think it. Write it down. What is the DNA? Where are we going? And let's make sure that we get on the road trip of where God wants. Let's make sure we get our kids and our families and our marriages to the vision that God has for us. Because what he says is, his plans are higher than our plans and his ways are higher than our ways. Like his ending spot is a whole lot better than our ending spot. And so again, crazy journey. Let's pursue that. Because once, this is me again, once you get to the beach and you have your bathing suit on and your luggage in the thing, isn't there just something like, we got here. This road trip, the road side of the trip is finally over. I know we got to drive back, but for the next 6-7 days, this is heaven. Again, then 5 minutes later, you're chasing the kids into the water. But for 5 minutes of you have peace. I want to pray for you a little bit this morning. Because I don't know where you're experiencing the anxiety, but maybe you've been feeling guilty that your family is a little crazy at times. And I want to pray over you that God not only is okay with the crazy, God redeems the crazy. You know what I mean? Like those journeys in my life, of the road trips, have been some of the craziest but greatest memories on that. I don't remember what we did at the beach, but I remember my son throwing up. I don't remember what we did when we got to the wedding and all that. I remember the window slowly going up. I remember the looks that my wife and I shared along all those trips. I remember when my wife left her purse 2 hours back at a Subway. And I remember trying to be very calm. I'm just saying, I don't remember what we did on vacation, but I remember the road trip. God redeems it. God uses it to bind us together. God is part of the crazy details of that. And I want you, as we go through the next 3 or 4 weeks, to be okay with whatever mess you're in now and allow God to redeem it and buy it so that he can do something greater later on. Let me just pray for you. Heavenly Father, man, this life is a crazy road trip. The ups and downs, the crazy turns. And even this morning as I look around, there's probably people in this room right now who are in a crazy part of this road trip, like frustration and loneliness. But God, I pray that as they sit here this morning, they'll look to you as the God who redeems, the God of all peace, the God who has vision for our lives that's greater than ours. God, I pray that you will bring comfort to them, that it's okay. That the journeys of life, that you're in it, and that they just need to hang on tight to you. God, as parents, I pray that we will plan our trip better than we are. That we put in our suitcases the right things. Help us to take out the wrong things. God, give us wisdom. In Jesus' name.